13. Be of the bird of the moth. Undated. Sure, it all comes down to who you're gonna believe, but can't both things be true? This ain't no wave-particle duality sort of situation, meaning no disrespect to X and butterflies and hurricanes, but this ain't no sun shining down at midnight so that Walrus Buddha and Carpenter Christ might go about their bloody business without the inconvenience of an electric torch. So either you take this literal or you don't, and tell yourself it's all just some sort of cryptographical malarkey. And sure, if that gets you through the night, if that gets you hard and wet, sweetheart, you go on ahead and be my guest. No skin off my dick. But really, it all comes down to who you're gonna believe. Now, between you and me and the Staten Island Ferry, we're gonna cut the crap and talk about Tindalos, as I am given to understand the matter. Straight from the horse's mouth, as it were. The horse being this guy I knew who knew a guy who knew this hippie chick who knew this bull dyke physicist used to be in tight with a certain American nonprofit global policy think tank, which shall here remain nameless. The way that particular horse laid it out, you gotta look at what showed up in the March 1929 issue of Weird Tales magazine as some kinda temporally retroactive disinformation. Yeah, I just made that up, that phrase, but it works about as well as anything. The horse, and we'll call him Harry, Harry the Horse, just like in that Beatles song and Guys and Dolls and what the hell ever else. He said it was none other than the fabled Madame Immaculata that done the deed, planted the story under the name of this Frank Belknap Longfella, since she slips the surly bonds so well and all. But I don't know whether that's true or just more flaps and seals, given she ain't never exactly been a player for Albany. Given her allegiances lie elsewhere. But who cares, right? Either way, all that fancy pulp window dressing doesn't show up until 13 years before the Chicago Pile 1 goes critical and Enrico Fermi gets his wish and any number of those assembled to behold that blessed event are left with a nasty recurring impression that much, much more than the first self-sustaining controlled nuclear chain reaction was achieved there beneath the bleachers of Stagg Field. Say that 10 times fast. How about it? Well, anyway, there's Chianti from Dixie Cups all round, and Arthur Compton phones up Jim Conant with the news how the Italian navigator has landed in the New World. And Conant, he wants to know how were the natives, and Dr. Compton replies very fucking friendly indeed. That's what you'll get in the history books. If you want to know about the poor unfortunate members of the CP1 team who bore witness to what crawled, slid, or wriggled through the cracks that day, then we have to go off record. The horse says folks saw a monster, or monsters, plural. He also says that at the moment of criticality, they saw a hole in time. Who am I to argue? As Harry the Horse, he ain't yet ever steered me wrong. I wish to strip from my eyes the veils of illusion that time has thrown over them and see the beginning and the end. Right. There is an abyss of being which man has never fathomed. Sure thing. A hole in time, leading all the way back past pre-Cambrian seas and good old archean squiggly microbial what-have-yous, back 4 billion plus years and spare change to an aptly named Hadean hellscape, the brand new molten moon filling up half the writhing charcoal sky. That's what they claimed they saw. What's more, says the horse, says he during various debriefings over the next several months, agents of the National Defense Research Committee et al. Were regaled with stories of strange angles that have no counterpart on Earth, quote, unquote, and formless grotesqueries that moved slowly through angles. They have no bodies, and they move slowly through outrageous angles. Ibid, I think. When told to please be more precise, none of them does much better. But someone used the word hounds, and someone else spake the three mystery syllables we keep coming back around to. Tindalos. A little of this bourgeois, even, allegedly came from Fermi himself. Upshot being, maybe it wasn't just a bunch of stray neutrons got loose that Wednesday afternoon. As for the patriotic folks administering the Manhattan Project, They're just trying to stop Hitler and the Japs, and there's bombs to be built and dutifully dropped, and so no one strains themselves overly trying to make hide nor hair of the dubious ravings of a bunch of clearly excitable eggheads and their fellow travelers. Maybe it was something in the air. Who knows? An unforeseen psychoactive side effect of being so very proximal to all those graphite blocks and uranium pellets. Who cares, Ducky? There were bigger fish to fry, fatter geese to cook, and so forth. Move along. Nothing to see here. The seeds of the deed move through angles and dim recesses of time. They are hungry and athirst. Oh, really? Hungry and athirst? I'm just saying, I'd have rolled my eyes. I mean, who talks like that? Anywho, where was I? Where were we? Rewind, press play, whatever. It all comes down to who you're gonna believe. Harry the Horse, he likes to talk about dead people. It's a thing with him. As regards to the matter at hand, and, I mean Tyndalos, he has talked, in prudent, hushed tones, mind you, about the death of a doomed young man who worked for a certain DuPont chemical engineer, a chemical engineer who happened to be in attendance at Stagg Stadium on that celebrated, fateful December day in 1942. The victim was, allegedly, said chemist's secretary, maybe also the object of numerous homosexual indiscretions, but who am I to judge? What you do in the privacy of your own Erlenmeyer flask and all that? So, 6 months after the experiment, the secretary goes and turns up dead, and I'm saying not just only merely dead, but according to the old reliable horse, really most sincerely dead. Dead, damn it. Dead with ready whip and a maraschino cherry perched on top. And also, what is more, the scene of this gruesome discovery had been, aka would be, described 13 years prior in that aforementioned issue of Weird Tales. Wanna hide something right in plain fucking sight? Just hide it behind you. Calmers lay stretched upon his back in the center of the room. He was starkly nude, and his chest and arms were covered with a peculiar bluish pus or ichor. His head lay grotesquely upon his chest. It had been completely severed from his body, and the features were twisted and torn and horribly mangled. Nowhere was there a trace of blood. The horse says he actually saw some corroborating crime scene photos, what made the rounds a few years back, and maybe he did. But we're talking real deep web, dark net stuff here, so don't even bother Googling this shit. He says over the years there have been a few dozen identical deaths, seemingly random. No discernible patterns or what have you. Attacks, he calls them. He's got unhealthy interests, does Harry. He'll talk your ear off about Elizabeth Short and Jack the Ripper and the Beast of Jovedon if you let him. He's a sick twist, that one. It was also him, by the by, what told me about the big black sphere Dreamland maybe had built special back about 2005, somewhere like Bolivia or Nevada or the goddamn southern Maristimo Islands, someplace thin like that. But you know all about the thin places of the world, don't you? We've already had that conversation. Supposedly, the whole raison d'etre for this gadget, the sphere, was to create a sort of cubbyhole in space-time so perfectly smooth on the inside that if you, well, not you per se, but someone, were hiding within it, you'd be safe as houses from these so-called hounds of Tyndalos, these hungry and athirst creatures from another dimension that Fermi and his Project Y goons had inadvertently called up, these critters that can only reach us through angles. The inside of the sphere, we're talking hyper-smooth here. We're talking smoother than goose poop on a rotten banana peel, quantum-stabilized atom mirrors of nanometric thickness cobbled together from an alchemical soup of lead molecules and silicone crystals and so on and such like. Real Marvin the Martian, Mr. Wizard territory, yeah? You better believe it. So I asked the horse from whose mouth came all these sundry marvels. I asked him, if these attacks are random, then what good's a fallout shelter? And he comes right back at me, whiz-bang, with the news that, somehow or another, those assholes have gone and weaponized the hounds. Sure, he was on beyond hazy on the details, though you can bet your sainted Aunt Beulah's fat tuchus I did pry. All he would say was, There's some people, see, got a natural affinity for Tyndalos. There's some people born predisposed, kind of like a living, breathing, walking, talking, shitting dog whistle, what only these things can hear. I know, right? But dude, that's what I'm saying here. That's what I'm trying to tell you, okay? If there's talent like that in the world, you can just forget goddamn sniper rifles and remote-triggered explosive devices, fucking MQ-9 Reaper drones and 007 umbrellas that inject deadly ricin microdoses. You can forget Vladimir Putin and his fancy-ass radioactive fucking aerosolized polonium-210. Dude, you can forget all that shit. You can kiss it goodbye, because if my friend Harry the Horse knows of what he speaks, well, it's a damn new ball of wax, ain't it? It's the dawn of a new day, and we stand at the threshold of a veritable golden age of executive action and extreme prejudice. That's what I'm saying, Dick. If the hounds do their bidding. Shit. What a fantastic death abyss indeed. But, like the fox said to the mama chicken, it all comes down, of course, to who you're gonna believe. Jesus. Just look at the time, will you?